Well, that's the HBO sound, of course. But wouldn't it be odd to hear that iconic sound before a Netflix show? It might have happened, because HBO thought about buying Netflix back in 2006, when Netflix was worth a mere $1 billion. Well, now it's all grown up and valued at $300 billion. Peter Kafka is a senior correspondent at Recode and host of the Recode Media podcast, and he's been writing about each company's legacy and this marriage that was not consummated, and he joins us now. Hey, Peter.
Hi there.
Now, HBO has had such a run over the years. The Sopranos, The Wire, Sex and the City, Game of Thrones, and now Succession. But HBO wasn't always a giant. You interviewed James Andrew Miller on your podcast. He wrote a book on HBO's history. What does it tell us about how those early days went for HBO?
Early HBO is just really an idea, a flyer hatched by executives in and around Time Inc., back when Time Inc. was a major magazine publisher and a major media company, and that's no longer the case. And they thought they might diversify and try out this weird thing called cable TV. And it starts very inauspiciously with them broadcasting to about 350 people in rural Pennsylvania, and then picks up sort of slowly after that. There's a period where, in order to convince people to get HBO, they're giving away free turkeys. And it really doesn't get going until sort of the late 70s and really into the 80s.
And then since then, I mean, what are the main chapters of how HBO grew into what it is today?
The early HBO is you can't see this stuff on regular TV, which is kind of a through line for them throughout their history. But then it's at the time it's uncensored movies, comedy specials from people like George Carlin, boxing, back when boxing was a mainstream sport. There are interesting parallels between HBO's history and Netflix's history. Netflix sort of disrupted media early on in a variety of different ways, and HBO did the same. It changed the way that film studios sold their rights sold their TV rights to their movies, and eventually starts creating its own content in sort of the mid to late 80s and really gets steam in sort of the mid 90s, in part because it realizes the movie studios don't really want to do business with it in the same way that they always have. And if you follow Netflix, you'll notice some of the parallels with Netflix.
Yeah, let's talk about Netflix. Once upon a time, and many of us remember, it was this mail-in the DVD company. And now, of course, it's this standard bearer for streaming content. What did Netflix learn from HBO, and what did it figure out itself about growing into what it is today?
I mean, Netflix, for a long time, like you said, was a DVD by mail business. It always wanted to stream stuff, but I'm not sure they sort of thought about what they were going to stream. But at some point, in the same way that HBO realized that the major studios were going to change the way they sold their content to HBO, Netflix realized that the major studios were going to stop making their stuff available to Netflix subscribers, and Netflix was going to have to make its own content. It famously jumped into that world in 2013 with House of Cards. At the time, Netflix said specifically, we want to become HBO. So they were consciously modeling themselves, at least initially, on sort of what was then considered an HBO style of programming.
Now, we never know how mergers will go, and HBO had its own tobacco with AOL Time Warner years ago. But based on what you know about these two companies, could a marriage of HBO and Netflix have worked out?
I don't think it would have worked out. I mean, it's easy to bet against big companies acquiring small companies, particularly big established media companies acquiring internet companies. There's a very checkered history of that. There are very few successes of that. And the reason that Netflix was able to succeed in a lot of ways is because it wasn't a major media company. It didn't have the same rules to follow from Wall Street. It could go years without making money. Time Warner couldn't have done that. And because it didn't have access to things like HBO, it had to create its own content. It's very easy to imagine HBO acquiring Netflix in 2006 and then not really knowing what to do with it and certainly not wanting to compete with itself and its established business model. So it's a fun coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's unlikely we end up in a world where there's no Netflix.
Now going forward, back to HBO, I mean, it was the first, but now it's one of many media companies producing premium content. Is it innovating enough to remain a leader?
I mean, it is certainly, it certainly has a brand and an association, and I think people still hold it up as sort of the best
consistent creator of television, movies to a lesser extent, but it no longer has that space entirely to itself, and it's going up against the likes of Netflix and deep-pocketed competitors like Amazon and Apple, Disney. So it will have to figure out some way where it can distinguish itself against. It used to have that fielding entirely to itself, and now it doesn't.
Yeah. Peter Kafka, senior correspondent at Recode and host of the Recode Media podcast. Peter, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.